the spiritually dead. Our duty is to go and teach and proclaim the word of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. If we're a follower. If we're a fan, now, I believe with all my heart, and I am not here, my job is not to patronize you, okay? And Brother Lanny knows I don't do that anyway. But my job is not to patronize you. But my wife and I talked this week, and I don't think I've ever been in a church where there are more people, I believe, to truly be followers of Jesus. Now, we started a church in Phoenix, and boy, we had fans. We had all kinds of fans. We had a contemporary service. That was all we had. It's contemporary music, everything contemporary. And man, I mean, they screamed and hollered and shouted and raised their hands and waved. But when they walked out of the church door on Sunday morning, they went right back where they were before they came in. Nothing changed. They followed him to church as a fan, but they didn't follow him out into the world to do the work that he'd called them to do. World of difference. And as I said, I see followers. Everywhere I look in this church, there are people serving and working and laboring. And that's great. And again, not to patronize the pastor, but a lot of that falls on his shoulders because he's taught you that over the last, what did you say, 85 years you've been pastor? Oh, yeah. But that's because you've been taught. But folks, God's looking for followers, not fans. It's easy to be a fan because you're just there when the game's on. You don't have to be a fan any other time. And it's easy to be a fan. Let's look at the third thought this morning. We must follow him whatever it means, okay? Wherever he sends, whenever he calls, and whatever it means. What does it mean to follow him? He said, follow me. What does that mean? Again, another good excuse. Look in verse 61 here. Pardon me. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow you. Boy, he just kept getting volunteers, didn't he? It's easy to volunteer, it's just not easy to follow through. He said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But now listen to the response of Jesus. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You say, when did he put his hand to the plow? When he said, I'll follow you. When did you put your hand to the plow? When you said, I'll follow you. When you received Christ as Savior and said, I'll follow you, brother, you got a hold of the plow and you better not be looking back. It's all Christianity is totally forward, okay? My sins are in the past. Boy, I wish I had time this morning to go over all the scripture that talks about my sin. But it says it's as far as the east is from the west. He put it behind his back. He buried it in the depths of the sea. He even forgot it. Only God can forget. We can't. There's some things I'd like to forget. We can't forget. We can get over it, but we can't forget. Hey, follow me. He is looking back. Where? Again, at his house. Now, it doesn't talk about his family, but I'm sure his family was meant there, and I'm sure family was involved. But he had put his hand to the plow. Now he wants to go back home and get ready. Go back to the house and get ready. Abraham wasted. Now, this is going to be a strange take, and you can spend some time this week studying the scripture, and you don't have to agree with me at all. You've been wrong on other things. So, Abraham spent 60 years in the Ur of Chaldees waiting for his daddy to die so he could go to the promised land that God had told him to go to. Do you know that? And when he got there, the Bible says very clearly in the book of Genesis, he did not inherit one single thing, not even a square foot to put his foot on. I think one reason Abraham never got anything, he had to buy a burying place for him and his wife. And he divided up all the land, remember, through the 12 tribes of Israel. They all got stuff. Abraham got nothing. And like I said, I may be wrong. It doesn't make any difference. That's just simply an opinion of mine. But I think the reason he got no inheritance was he spent 60 years waiting on his daddy to die. What was his options? Well, one option was to go on where God told him to go. He said, I'm sending you to a country that you're going to inherit. And your followers are going to be multitude like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. He could have gone on. I guess he could have taken his daddy with him. I don't know that that's unheard of. But he waited there 60 years till his daddy died. Then he went and did what God told him to. Folks, listen, most of us don't have 60 years to wait to do what God wants us to do. He said, follow me. Timing, God's timing. Now listen, is always perfect. He is never late, nor is he ever early. When God says do it now, do it now. Follow me when? Right now. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to also all who have loved his appearing. I want us to look at another portion of Scripture now. Go, if you will, just back a little bit to John. Forward to John, not back. Over to John chapter 21, the last chapter of John. Right, the book right after Luke. Luke and then John. John chapter 21. And I want us to read just a few verses here, beginning in verse 19. Very significant thing. Now remember I told you earlier that 16 times Jesus said clearly, specifically, follow me. Follow me. He indicated other times, intimated other times, but 16 times he said very clearly, follow me. He's going to say it one last time here in John chapter 21. Look at verse 19, if you will. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Okay? Now, this is Jesus, of course, talking to Peter. He's just been through this conversation with Peter where he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I really like you. Then feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, I really like you. Feed my lambs. He said, Peter, now listen to this real close. You won't find this in the English translation, but you'll find the original language. The third time Jesus said, Peter, do you really like me? And he said, oh Lord, I love you. He finally got it out. Why? Because love is much more profound, much deeper. He was much more committal there. He was committing himself. And now Jesus is talking to him. Okay, in verse 19 again, let's start over. And he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. He's talking to Peter. He said, okay, Peter, if you love me, here's how you're going to die. Follow me. Here's how you're going to die. God said, here's how you're going to glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, what? Follow me. Follow me. Peter, this is how you're going to die. Now follow me. He finally got him to say that he loved him by, I think, maybe kind of insulting him a little bit in the conversation there. Look in verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, now here comes most of us Christians, okay? Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now this is John the apostle who wrote this book. Saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He's following. Now, apparently Peter wasn't, or Jesus wouldn't have said, follow me. What had Peter been doing? Going fishing. And he got the other crowd to follow him. But he's saying here about John, John's following me. Whom Jesus loved, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, now here it is. But Lord, what about this man? Lord, if I'm going to follow you, what about Greg over here? Don't think he's following close enough. I mean, I'm following as close as he is. I'm good as he is. And look back there at Ben and Todd and Shane. I mean, these guys, I'm following closer than them. Folks, listen, that's not the point. Okay? You're not answerable to me, are answerable to each other, are answerable to Brother Lanny. You're answerable to God. And when God says, follow me, follow him. And don't be a Peter and look around to see who's doing a little less or even a little more. It just doesn't matter. I'm accountable to God for what God wants me to do. And that's what it's all about. This he spoke, signifying what death. Now, let's go back. Verse 21, Peter seeing him said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Now listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, if I want him to stay here and stay alive until I come back, what is that to you? Now listen, the second time to Peter in this one conversation, you follow me. Quit looking at John. You follow me. Peter was good at being a fan, wasn't he? Jesus became a follower who loved Jesus to the point and followed Jesus to the point that he was eventually crucified upside down. He said, please crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to die right side up as my Savior did. He was a follower by then. He had become a follower. I'll follow you. Now, I want to close with this. What about you this morning? Will you follow Jesus? And there's some steps in all this, okay? First of all, in salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's where it all starts. You cannot follow a man you do not know. Okay? Do you know him as Savior? If you receive him, the Bible says, to as many as received him, then he gave them the power to be his sons. So the first way to follow Jesus is to receive him as Savior. Now, you say, well, preacher, I've done that. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. So have you followed him in baptism? You ever wonder why we phrase it that way in the church? Following someone in baptism? Because that's what it's all about, following him. That was the second command. The first was to be saved. The second, to follow him in baptism. If you've been saved, are you following him or are you just a fan? In membership. Well, I've been saved and baptized, but I'm not a member here. What difference does that make? All the difference in the world. The Bible says Jesus loved the church and died for it. And if we're going to follow him, we need to be a part of it, an active part of it, a committed part of it. Follow me in salvation. Follow me in baptism. Follow me in membership. But more than everything but salvation, that comes first. That's essential. We need to follow him in total commitment. Following Jesus means total commitment. Because we're talking about wherever and whenever and whatever. Follow me. Folks, don't be a fan. Don't be a fan. Goodness. Fans are so fickle. As I said when I started the message, the fans, boy, I mean, they took their clothes off and laid them down so even the donkey wouldn't have to touch his feet wouldn't have to touch the ground. And they're shouting, Hail Hosanna! Savior, catch what? It means Savior King. Hail, Savior King Jesus! Hail, Hosanna! 6 days later, crucify him! Crucify him! Hang him on the cross! Kill him. That's a fan. Be a follower of Jesus. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to begin that trek, if you please, because it starts with salvation. Follow him in salvation. Because the Bible says there's no other way. There is no other way. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. You need to follow him in salvation. If you're here and you've never been saved, there can never be a better time or better day than right now. Okay? Whenever, whatever. However, it doesn't matter. Right now. If you've been saved, there cannot be a better time than right now to follow him in baptism. To follow him in membership. But most of all, maybe you need to just come down here and spend a couple of minutes down here at the front on your knees, humbly before him, saying, Lord, I will follow you. But listen, don't you do that. I'm not doing this to get people to come forward, unless you've got a reason to come forward. Don't come down here and say, Lord, I'll follow you, unless you mean you'll follow him. Whenever, wherever, whatever, Lord, I'll follow you. Oh, you know what? If we had a church full of followers, we'd set this woods on fire for Jesus. I mean, the flames would go up. Followers. What about you? Stand with me this morning, if you would. Let's pray, and then Matt's going to lead us in an invitation. And I appeal to you this morning. Do what God wants you to do, okay? Not what I want you to do. That there's no point and purpose in that. You do what God wants you to do.